Please turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And we're going to look this morning at the death and resurrection of Lazarus. And you know, for anybody who's a really good time management person, it's not a good thing to be repeating the same job over and over again. You know, if you can, you want to go and do things and get it done. You know, you don't want to, like, leave a job undone and have to go back and redo it. I feel bad for the family of Lazarus. I mean, the truth was they had to have two funerals for the guy. He ended up getting buried twice. Can you imagine that? And after he died, I'm sure that they probably went in and cleaned out his bedroom. That's always a very traumatic thing for families to do, you know. They probably took his clothes out and took him to charity. If they're like some people I know, I knew one family that a family member died, and the family felt like they needed to have closure to move on with life. So literally they came home from the funeral, they gathered up all the clothes, and they sent them to charity, and they took down the stuff on the walls, and they repainted the room, and within like 2 days it looked like the deceased had never been there. And I would just like you to imagine what happened with Lazarus' family. He gets raised. He comes back home. He's like, my bedroom used to be blue. And whatever happened to that jacket that I really liked? And by the way, my chest of drawers, somebody else's clothes have been put in there. Well. Well, this is all part of God's plan. And let's look at it. John chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. And you can just imagine that they knew they had a wonderful relationship with Jesus. Jesus loved them personally, and Jesus loved them personally. You know how it is. I know there's a number of you that are in business, and you got plenty of customers, but there's some customers that you don't just do a job for you. You don't just do a job. The customer is happy when you come. They're happy to see you. They want to talk to you about things. And you have gotten to know them. And so you're not just doing a job for them. You're interested in knowing what's going on with their family. And Jesus had places that he stayed when he traveled from place to place. We know that when Jesus was around Capernaum, he stayed in Peter's house. And Peter's wife served many a meal to her. And Jesus stayed in the home with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they loved him. So Lazarus was sick. So he sent word to Jesus. And he didn't say just Lazarus is sick. He says, Lord, the one you love is sick. And I know this is a very small point, but I want to mention it to you. Out of all the four Gospels, the last one to be written was John. And John is the only one of the apostles to die a natural death. All the other apostles died younger. They were killed. John died a natural death. He lived to be an old man. And John was written after the other three Gospels had been written. And kind of the idea the story that's passed down throughout the ages is that there was things that John knew about and talked about when he preached and taught that were not included in the other Gospels. And so people encouraged him, you need to write these things down because we need to have them. So John wrote the Gospel of John. And if you would compare the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you're going to see lots and lots of the same stuff covered. you look in John, you're going to find stuff that those guys didn't cover at all. Important stuff. And another thing you're going to find when you look in John, if there's a story, and John himself is in the story, he never refers to himself by name. He always calls himself, he always uses a little expression anytime he talks about himself. He calls himself the disciple, the apostle Jesus loved. Obviously, he was, that's the thing that made such a big impression upon him. The fact that Jesus loved him. And here, Mary and Martha, they knew that Jesus loved them. They knew that Jesus loved their brother. So when they sent word, it's not just like, please tell Jesus that Lazarus from Bethany is sick. It's tell them that your friend, the one you love, is sick. When Jesus heard this, Jesus says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. So he begins by saying, this will not end in death. There's going to be something about it that is done for God's glory. And then he waited. And this would be one of these occasions where if you could ask Jesus a question, a good question would be, why did you wait? But there's a lot of people that could ask that question. Jesus, why did you wait? Why didn't you give me what I thought I needed when I thought I needed it? But we just need to trust the Lord because his timing is just perfect. I know I don't think he's going to mind me using him as a little bit of a sermon illustration this morning, but I've been close with Jeff here for quite a while. And there are, Jeff's going, oh no, what's he going to say? Pastor Doug, I'm holding on to my seat. And there have been those that have had various ideas about Jeff and his dating. Oh, Jeff, have you ever thought about asking this one out? Oh, Jeff, you should ask this one out. And I tell you what, those things just kind of went, because Jeff kind of had it in his mind that at the right time, God was going to bring the right person into his life. And there was those on the outside who didn't necessarily understand that. I mean, I remember having conversations even with Chris. It's like, you know, finding girls you want to date is sort of like wolves chasing rabbits, you know? You see the bunny rabbit and the wolves go after them. I said, Jeff, you got to be a wolf. You got to go after him. Jeff's like, no, I don't. God's going to bring the right one into my life. Some of you women are appalled at hearing this. A lot of you men are like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, Pastor. I know what you're talking about. And it's interesting how things worked out. And now he's having this wonderful dating relationship with Abby, and she's just been like a blessing brought into his life, you know, and maybe this will just be a wonderful dating experience, but it seems like this is a dating experience that was a blessed dating experience, you know? And God knows what we need. God knows our hearts, and we need to trust him. And this whole business with Jesus waiting 2 days to go, it was part of the Lord's plan. Verse 7, then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, yet you're going to go back there? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by the day will not stumble, for he sees this world's light. It is when he walks in the night that he stumbles, for he has no light. We could stop and talk about that for a while, but let's keep moving. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, and I am going there to wake him. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that he meant natural sleep. Now, somehow, Jesus knew that Lazarus had already died. Now, let's remember, God the Father called the shots. Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father. So Jesus gets the word that Lazarus is sick, and he says, this isn't going to end in death. It's all going to be for God's glory. We're going to wait. And in those 2 days he waited, somehow in his spirit, he knew that Lazarus had died. He tells them, I'm going to go and wake him up. Verse 14. So they told him plainly, Lazarus is dead. And it is for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe. So it is for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. His disciples didn't really believe. I think their belief is something that came along in time. And if you read the Gospels, you're going to find a lot of the stories that if you sit and you think about them and you look at, they weren't for the crowds. They were for the disciples. Think about Jesus' first miracle, turning the water into wine. From what we read, the man who was running in charge of everything and the people at the wedding and the bride and groom knew nothing about what had happened. They're just there at a wedding. Jesus' disciples and the servants who were serving the tables were the only ones who knew about the miracle. They'd run out of wine. Jesus told them to take these big stone containers that can be filled up with 20 to 30 gallons. He says, go fill them up with water from the well. They fill them up with water from the well. Jesus says, now take some of it to the host and let them see it. So they scoop in to take some of the water. It's like, gosh, I don't know what we're going to do. But somehow in the whole process of, I don't know when it happened, sometime that water turned into wine. I don't know if it's before they put the scooper in it. I don't know if it's while he's walking across the floor. Who knows? But they just obeyed. They handed the ladle to the master, and he takes a sip of this. He's like, oh, this is the best. Save the best for the last. And I can just imagine, if I was one of the apostles, I'd be like, huh. I don't even know what I would say. I'd be like, you know you're really drinking water. You know where we got this stuff from. This did not come from ABC Wine and Liquor. This came from the well over there. Whatever. Maybe Judas was thinking, you know what? If we could get some more containers, we could sell this stuff. You know what they're charging for wine these days? So the only ones who really knew about it was the servants and Jesus' disciples, because he wanted them to believe. If they were going to be the people that he was raising them up to be, they needed to believe. So they needed to see this stuff. And so they needed to see and to know that Lazarus was dead. So now they're traveling with him. Jesus has just told them what's going on. They are traveling to a house where some guy has died. So what's going on? Jesus says this is not going to end in death. It's so that you can believe. The guy's already dead. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to even open my mouth. I mean, do you tell everybody you're sorry and you're, please accept my condolences? Because Jesus has just said he's going to, I don't know. I think I would just be quiet and watch the whole thing go by. Verse 17, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Wow. How it worked in that part of the world with that culture is if you died, if I died today, let's just take I drop dead in the pulpit, kerplunk. Everybody comes up, Mr. Doug, who is a paramedic, would try whatever he could. They'd try to resuscitate me. Can't resuscitate me. I'm dead. Back in that time, they would take me to my house. They would wash my body. And you guys today would all come by my house and tell my family how sorry you are. There would be people who would mourn. And then they would wrap me up in a sheet, and they'd dig a hole, and they'd toss me in, and they'd put the dirt in. In that part of the world with the Jews, they usually didn't do any embalming. So you didn't wait long. You did the mourning, you got them in the ground. So Lazarus, they had mourned, they had washed the body, wrapped it up in a sheet, let's put it in the tomb. They had a family tomb, I'm sure, and there would be small caves, and they would have a bench. You lie the body on the bench, and then you close the tomb. Now, let me tell you how they did it back then. Your family tomb and the bench would generally have room for one person, because you're not burying people every day. Years from now, when another one of my family members would die, they would open the tomb, and they would take my bones, and they would take them off the bench, and they would put them in a box underneath, and they would lay out whoever the next family member was. That's where the expression being gathered to your ancestors had to do. They'd gather up the bones, put them in the box. 18. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews who had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And I'm just imagining what Martha's face looked like. Jesus may have been the Son of God, but a formidable woman, Martha certainly was. We already know about Martha early on. We know that she's a woman who, when she's working on housework, you don't get in her way because you stick with it and you get it done till it's done. So that's just the way it was. And I have a family with a lot of really strong women in it, so I'm just imagining what the look on Martha's face when she came out to see Jesus. But she still has faith. Verse 22 says, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And I can just see Martha almost tapping her foot. She has this expectation that Jesus is going to do something. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha says, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus said to her, and maybe you want to underline this in your Bible. I got it in mind. This is so important. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And I'll tell you what, this is one I hold on to so tight because I know there will be a day that if I don't get in an accident or something before, that I'm going to be like our sister Scuddy. And little by little, my old body's going to shut down. And I'm going to know that I only got a limited amount of time. And I'm going to remember what Jesus said. Jesus said that if we believe in him, says, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And somehow, and I don't know how to explain it, folks, but somehow that part of us that is us, there's going to come a point where our body is going to run out of gas, but everything that is us is going to go to be with Jesus. There's going to be a point where we're separated from this body. Think about it like this. Your car. You can fill your car up with gas and then drive it around, but you know, the tank is going to go down, tank's going to go down, and you can insist, I'm just going to keep driving this thing. And Pastor Scott, he is the king of driving the car just as far as possible. I mean, I have literally been in his old van used to tell you how many miles you got left before you're completely out of gas. And Pastor Scott, tell the truth now, as God is your witness, how far have you taken it down? Oh my gosh. I've been in it where it said you only had like 10 miles left. And I was trying to play it easy, but I'm imagining myself pushing the van. And I'm like, this isn't gonna work. It isn't gonna work. And but he whatever. Pastor, I don't think you ever ran out of gas, did you? But I want to tell you, when it comes to these bodies of ours, they are going to run out of gas. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't return, something's going to get us. Something's going to get us. We aren't going to go on indefinitely. And when it does, whether we're many, many years old or whether we're young and it's either an accident or a disease that takes us, we realize that these bodies are a perishable thing. But everything inside us, our ability to love, our memories, our personality, our sense of humor, all the things that makes us us. And I love talking to my mom. I was talking to my mom this week. And, you know, I'm trying to think, how old is my mom? 83. And my mom's not the same as when she was younger. I mean, time has had its effect on her. But, you know, as I talk with her, it's like everything that makes her her, I mean, it's there. The things that she likes to laugh about and she likes to look forward to, all those things that are the essence of her. And there's a sense in which her body's getting old, but she's still her. And Jesus says that he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I believe it. I believe it. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher's here, she said, and is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to go to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was, she saw him, fell at his feet, and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. And you could say, why in the world did Jesus weep? He knows that he is going to raise this guy from the dead. He knows the end of the story. But he also knows the pain in the hearts of the people. Isn't it interesting that he cares about the pain in the hearts of his people? When the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them also said, could he have not opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take the stone away, he said. Lord, Martha said, the sister of the dead man, by this time, there's a bad odor, for he's been in there 4 days. Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Now, do notice that the word heard is past tense. This matter has already been decided. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. And there's a good reason to put your faith in him, because that is something that cannot be done. That's a work of God. This isn't just some religious thing that you try to adjust your life to. This is something real. And you know, there's a lot of religious things you can adjust your life to. I've got a young lady I know very, very well, and she has embraced yoga and the religious practices that go along with it to the max. She has changed her name. She's changed what she wears for clothing. She changed what she eats for food. She is using a different language to refer to everything. I mean, she has gone all in. I mean, she's changed stuff. And that is a system of organizing her world that she has adopted. It's a system of organizing her world. This isn't a system of organizing your world. This is real God, real power. This is stuff that is not just us. This is something that is non-earthly, not normal, not real, not possible. They put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. And I don't know. There's a lot of reasons that people went to the Pharisees. There's a lot. Some of them probably had relatives who were Pharisees, and they wanted to say it because they know that it irritates their relatives. There's other people that probably wanted to go to the Pharisees because they know how upset the Pharisees get when they hear about the stuff, and they just wanted to have fun seeing them get upset. You guys don't know anybody like that, now do you? The chief priests, the Pharisees, called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and take away our place in our nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You don't realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." He did not know this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. And not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and to make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Oh, gosh. So a great thing happens, but not everybody recognizes it a great thing. And I guess that's just the way it is today. You share truth, and there are going to be people that have hearts that are sensitive to God, and they're going to receive it. You share the same truth, and you're going to have people that are very closed to things of God, and they will reject you. We just need to share truth, speak truth, and have a tender heart towards the things of God ourselves. Well, Jesus is the real deal. As we close this message, I want you to just hold on to the fact that this life we have is setting us up for eternity. Every day is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to glorify God. It's an opportunity to help other people and to be a blessing. And this, compared to eternity, our lifetime is like a drop of water compared to the ocean, a limitless ocean. We need to live our lives here, understanding that our time here is limited. And God is great, and we get an opportunity to stand faithful for him. Through the decisions we make, through the things we think, through the ways we treat people, We get to show God that we really do love him, that we are his people. I pray that we do that this week. Let me pray for you, and then Pastor Scott's going to come up and close. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for life. I know, Lord, it's a gift from you. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide us in where we should go. And I pray, Lord, that our time would accomplish a lot of good for you. Thank you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.